Look out the window and see the trees moving uncontrollably. The winds are so powerful, they're practically tearing down anything in the street. There are also tons of water raining down on you. You're driving as fast as you can, but suddenly your car stops. You've heard the terms typhoon, cyclone, and hurricane, but you most likely don't know how they're different. The official scientific term for all three of them is a tropical storm. While they're practically the same thing, and they form the same way, they're different depending on where they occur. Hurricanes are the ones that form over the Atlantic Ocean or the Eastern Pacific Ocean. Tropical cyclones act as giant engine turbines powered by warm, moist air and form only over warm bodies of ocean water near the equator. The warm and moist air surrounding the ocean rises and leaves low-pressure air close to the surface. In turn, the air below becomes moist and warm and also rises. The cycle goes on, with warm air pushing up and squeezing the low pressure near the surface, only to rise as warm, moist air. When the warm, moist air cools off, it forms clouds. These clouds create the tropical storms we all fear. The storms spin the same way as the Earth is rotating. So, storms to the south of the equator rotate clockwise, and storms north of the equator spin counterclockwise. The eye of the storm happens when the storm spins so fast that it actually becomes visibly clear in the center with low air pressure. But you'd have to look at it from above, which is super risky. Tropical storms normally move at around 39 miles per hour. Tropical cyclones are way faster, around 74 miles per hour. They're also known as hurricanes. If you're standing at the tip of the North or South Pole, the Earth's rotation will appear to stand still, even though the rest of the Earth is experiencing day and night like everyone else. In the poles, you have really long nights and days that last for months. Over at the equator, time moves along with the distance around the planet, which is around 25,000 miles long. The Coriolis effect makes wind patterns traveling long distances around Earth appear to move in a curve rather than a straight line. And because of the planet's unique shape, the speeds are different. It affects the Coriolis force and hurricanes as well. Because there's no curving of the object's path as measured relative to Earth's surface at the equator, the Coriolis force equals zero. A hurricane starter pack includes deep, warm ocean water. It all happens in the moist middle layers of the atmosphere, with a chilly atmosphere on top. It also takes some low wind and some surface disturbance. And it can stretch around 300 miles away from a large body of water where the center of a large hurricane is. The good thing is that hurricanes get weaker when they hit the land because the warm water in the middle of the ocean isn't giving it the juice it needs to stay pumped. But it'll still carry a sustainable amount of damage with the strong winds and rain. In 1900, one of the biggest hurricanes struck near Central America and in the Gulf of Mexico. It then went as far as Florida and Texas, and is considered to be the most devastating hurricane in the United States' history. They first detected it on August 27th, and it lasted for many days. By the time it reached the Texas coast, the storm had turned into a Category 4 hurricane. Hurricanes are categorized on wind speed and intensity, using something called a Saffir-Simpson scale. There are five different categories from 1 to 5, with 1 being the weakest and 5 being the strongest. A Category 1 storm has winds moving at between 74 to 95 miles per hour. You can expect some trees to be uprooted and mobile homes destroyed. It can take out some home exterior and cause major power outages. Category 5 hurricanes speed up to over 155 miles per hour and leave nothing in their path. They can even wipe out some buildings right off their foundation. And because the winds are faster, there is more damage around its radius. Another thing to expect is lots and lots of flooding. The people of Galveston had less than 4 days to prepare for the arriving storm that even stretched out to Oklahoma and Kansas with 20-foot flash floods. The Great Hurricane then made its way to the Great Plains and turned towards the Great Lakes, New England, and reached southeastern Canada. The storm was so bad that more than 3,600 homes were damaged, even though they were sturdy enough to withstand the storm. Given the population numbers back then, it was equivalent to hundreds of thousands of houses destroyed, if not millions. The total property damage was around $30 million then, which would be a lot more now because of inflation. After the devastating storm, the people of Galveston built a 3.5-mile seawall and raised the whole city level by as much as 16 feet. Eventually, they raised the seawalls to 10 miles, just in case. If a storm like the one in Galveston struck in modern times, there wouldn't be enough places for everyone to hide. The population has increased significantly all over the areas where the storm struck back in 1900.